Hello, everybody. Out there in internet radio land, this is Blake Wooby. Welcome to my show, Gods and Goddesses. Why do I name it that? Because we are co-creator gods in the making, living on a planet. The first category, because the universe is broken down by categories of planets, 1 through 9. Number one is planet of the lowest evolutionary category, which means that people are learning basic social values. They're born, right? Born into this planet. And there's usually a lot of fighting going on, wars in the past. Hey, you know, we've had a lot of wars in our past. People killing each other for no good reason, but that's part of evolution, right? Come a long way. Since thousands of years ago, people have always been enslaved. That's part of a lower evolutionary category. And equality, you know, oh yes, indeed, over the years. And so there's a higher category, a number 9. And in our Milky Way galaxy alone, there are planets of the highest evolutionary category, with extraterrestrial beings living on them who have been entrusted by the creator of the universe to observe and monitor civilizations of lower evolutionary categories to help them when they need it, but not to give them things on a silver platter, so to speak. Because universal law dictates that people, when they make a mistake, they have to pay the price, whether it's individually or as an entire civilization. And I think we're doing pretty good right now. We have come from a pretty tumultuous past, but I believe there's a bright future for us. And when we die and go on into the spirit lands and live in our spirits, we will continue to evolve. And if an individual soul and spirit wants to, they can reincarnate into another planet elsewhere, whether it's in our galaxy or another galaxy. But some people like to take what I've learned from other people. They like to take a lot of time in heaven, if you will, this time, just to get back to the way they used to live, the way they were. When you pass over to the other side, one of the things that I've read about from other people, people have come back to life, is that they've said there's a remembering that happens. This is where you were before, you know, before you were born. People that you knew, deceased relatives, angels, you're in that environment again. You only forget all of that because that's part of the hardwired, if you will, requirement to come into this planet here, that you go through that river of oblivion where your pre-existence memories are wiped out, memories of past lives are wiped out. If you get back to living in the spirit, and it's a great existence, you know, because that is the real reality, the higher reality, you know, where everything is more beautiful, the colors are more intense, there's more love, there's less things to worry about, there's no pain, you know. But, and I'm learning as I go along, you know, every day is a struggle to find happiness for me. I think it is for other people too. You see, I walk down the street as I drive around, as I go to the store. Whatever I do, I see people with their own struggles, trying to make it, you know. Some have more money than others. And that's what we do as human beings here living on this planet. And we're supposed to develop ourselves spiritually. It's like a school, a university of the universe. You like that? Isn't that cool? The University of the Universe. Welcome to kindergarten, ladies and gentlemen, here on planet Earth. As fully grown adults, I don't mean that in a bad way or a disrespectful way. It's just that, you know, the past we've had, all the wars, I don't need to name them off, do I? All the numbers and the fighting that's been going on and still is going on. Does anybody have any questions about whether or not we've been a peaceful civilization from day one and respected people's lives and have known how to love everybody unconditionally? No. Proof is in the pudding, so to speak. I mean, it's there in the past. World War II is only just a little outside of my lifetime in the past, about 70 years ago. A war of the world. And then I was born 9 years later after that. But I'm glad I wasn't part of that younger generation my parents belonged to. Because it can make you very bitter. I've mentioned this before on previous shows. It can make you very bitter when someone's trying to kill you. You know, it can change your whole perspective. And then if you're in the war, you suffer from PTSD because you see people dying. It's a crash course in seeing bodies blown to bits. It's not a pleasant thing to have to go through, you know. Somebody who you knew 1 second no longer exists. And that happens a lot in a war. Not a pleasant thing, indeed, to have to go through. Well, and then we are gods and goddesses in the making. You have to believe it because that's part of the supreme creator of the universe's plan. That we be like him, her, because the supreme creator is both male and female. The same supreme creator who initiated the Big Bang. The plan is that, and it's a wonderful plan of growth and expansion. And us, look at us, we grow from babies to fully grown adults. We get old, hopefully, you know, we live as many years as possible, because every day is a gift, right? And one day, hopefully when we're old, 80, 90 years old, 100 years old even, then we pass away. But that growth that we achieve during our lifetimes is no laughing matter. As Jimi Hendrix once said in that song, All Along the Watchtower, there are many here among us who think that life is but a joke. No, it's not. It's about growth. And what is there greater in the entire universe, not only on this planet, but over the solar system or Milky Way galaxy? But growth, my friend, growth. But growth in the right way, because outside of the material universe, there's a spiritual universe where we need to develop ourselves. In that school, the University of the Universe, and look at us. We are wonderfully and fearfully made, like the Bible says. Hearts that beat independently of our wills. Lungs that purify our blood. A brain that functions incredibly, able to work out a myriad of tasks like a computer, even better than the most sophisticated computer here on Earth. The brain works wonderfully well for most people. And then we live our lives. And according to that plan, the Creator's plan, we do it all again, are born on another planet, and maybe the next time we can remember, we won't have that river of oblivion, we won't have the memories of our past lives erased. Wouldn't that be something? But you'd have to be on a planet of a higher category. Two or three or four or five or six, maybe even a nine, depending on just how much you learned. And a planet of the highest category, number nine planet, there's one in our Milky Way galaxy, at least one, because, you know, you look up into the evening sky and you see all those suns out there, or stars, however you want to call them. Sun, stars, same thing. And in our Milky Way galaxy alone, don't be fooled by the exaggeration of some people. Without knowing what you've heard from other people about the number, just think how many are there. Sometimes I look at a patch of space at nighttime, and I can see, like in my peripheral vision, all the stars that appear around the bigger stars, you know, there is an incredible number of stars just in our Milky Way galaxy alone. Hundreds of thousands of suns, stars. And it's a really wonderful thing, that plan for us to learn to be like the Creator, not the Creator, him or herself, but be a co-creator God and be endowed with all the attributes, the ability to create by knowing the right words to speak. Those cosmic rays and forces are put into motion when you know how to say the right thing. And it still happens, each and every one of us, being a co-creator God in the making. We have to use our words wisely, because words not only create, but they destroy. And let's take about anybody, talk about anybody that you know. Do you say good things about them, or perhaps derogatory things? I catch myself sometimes saying maybe unkind or bad things about people, when I should be saying good things. And I do say a lot of good things about people. I do compliment people. I praise them. I like to see the better side of things. I acknowledge every human being as a fellow traveler on a soul's journey. I pray for a lot of people. I pray every day. I pray for everyone. May God bless us. May the Creator bless us, everyone. The ultimate prayer, the best prayer, my friends, is to pray for everybody. When you are praying for everybody, then you have achieved your goal here on Earth. The rest is just icing on the cake, so to speak. When you can pray for everybody, that's how you love your fellow human being, your neighbor. That is the key to loving each other, my friends. That's a secret, okay? Please write that down. The key to loving, and you want to love each and every person, right? You want to love everybody. That's how you do it. You pray for them. Like, for example, my wife right now. Well, maybe that's not a good example, but anybody. I see somebody on the television. And, you know, there's a lot of bad news on television, especially, you know, on the main news channels. And when you say a prayer for somebody, that just sends a beam of light up into the atmosphere, and it cuts through time, the past and the future, because that's what we're supposed to do as beings created by the Supreme Creator. We're all in this together. We are one, my friend. Separate entities, but still one. We belong together in universal love. And the key to that oneness going forward into the future and stopping this history of war and killing is to pray for each other. There it is. That's the secret. I remember. I remember to do that all the time. I'm saying prayers all the time for people. It helps. It works. I've seen it work hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times over and over again. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen it work. Now, my friends, I'm going to stop what I'm saying and just wonder if Doug from BBS Radio is out there. And if he's, we talked about him being a guest, and I didn't coordinate this better beforehand. I'm just assuming that he's out there, and if he's willing and able to speak at this time. Doug, are you out there? Doug, are you out there, Doug? Well, it's no big deal. I thought that he was going to be available. I should have asked Don, because we had talked, Doug and I had talked about him coming on the show and saying a few things. But maybe Don's out there. Don, can you hear me, Don? Well, they're probably doing something. But it's okay if I continue to talk by myself. I'm quite happy, quite satisfied. You know, my friends, one thing that's been a challenge to me, because I like to exercise, I enjoy going to the track and I enjoy running. I like walking also, but running has been a particular interest to me in the recent past, because I know it elevates the heart. Hi, Doug.
How are you doing, my friend?
I'm all right, thank you.
Yes, I said I'd stop in and have a little chat. I hope you're doing fantastic.
Well, thank you. I am, Doug. I'm a happy camper today, because one thing, believe it or not, it's just a small thing that can make one's life a lot more pleasant, you know. I've had this pain in my left foot, and I finally solved the problem. What was wrong? It's taken me years to work it out. And I can't say for certain that it's gone away, but I've had a corn. You might think this is funny, me talking about this, just to begin our conversation with. Since you asked me how I'm doing, you know, I'm doing better. And I think people have little pains, you know, in their bodies that they go through, experience every day. And it can affect their well-being. You know, with me, I like to stand a lot at work on my computer all day. But I've had problems with a corn in between my left little toe and the toe next to it. And this could be of interest to people out there that are listening. I know it's strange. I hope you don't mind me starting our conversation.
No, not at all. But you say you found out what the issue is. What do you think it is?
Yes. Yes, I think so. It is because as a society, there are so many things that we can do differently, better, you know. And it's happening all the time, we're improving all different facets of our life with new inventions, new creations, people thinking of better ways to do things. And I've noticed that I've had a lot of different shoes in the past, running shoes. I've bought all different kinds. And you lace them up, put them on your feet, lace them up, and then you head out to the track. And so I had this corn develop maybe about 3 or 4 years ago between my little toe and the toe next to it. And, I mean, the pain has been so intense sometimes. I mean, it's like unbearable. You know, it's only just a small little toe. You know, I mean, there's so much potential for pain in our bodies. And when women, for example, go through childbirth, I can't imagine what that pain is like. People have back pain. You know, some people's backs give them big problems throughout their life, you know, especially in the older years. And there's so many different things on our body that we have problems, issues with, you know. But today I'm happy because I've solved it now. I bought myself some shoes that don't have any laces. And believe it or not, there are running shoes that you can get that are slip-on that you don't have to tie up. And the theory behind it is when you tie your laces, and maybe I've tied mine too tight before in the past, then you restrict the circulation in the ankles. And also you cut off any ventilation. So when your feet begin to sweat, then that's when they begin to rub and cause that friction that develops the corn, either in between the toes or on the toes. But it's surprising to me just how these little things can affect one's life in a big way, you know, so that, I mean, wow. Since I do stand, like, during the work week at my computer, and I don't know for certain if this is, if it's over with, you know, that I don't have to worry about it anymore, but even just within one day of wearing these shoes, and I tried them out last night and took them to the track, and I did a little sprinting down the track, and it feels so much better now, and kind of gives me a new lease on life, so to speak, you know. Now I'm ready to tackle other things. Whereas before, I was devoting a lot of energy to kind of trying to get rid of that pain, trying all these different methods, and nothing was working. And I was wondering, you know, what am I doing wrong? I went to the doctor about 3-4 times, and they gave me some advice, but sometimes that doesn't always work. And it's as simple as just, hey, you don't have to you don't have to lace up shoes. If you don't want to, you can. I look around all the time when I go to the store, what people are wearing on their feet, you know. Some are wearing sandals, flip-flops. In the store today, I saw women wearing flip-flops. Some people wear boots. Some people wear socks. I don't like wearing socks. Sometimes I have to at work. But anyway, I bet you didn't think I'd be talking about this one.
No. Well, no, I'm sad that you had to deal with a pain, especially where you put your whole weight on your feet, and that, you know, to have to live with that for a long period of time, I'm sure that takes something out of you.
It does. And I consider myself a smart person, well-read, intelligent, right? But for the life of me, I couldn't figure out is how to, and I was trying, you know, tried everything. As I mentioned, I went to the doctor, and it makes me wonder just what other things are out there that I could do differently, that we could do differently, you know, because we are all works in progress, and no one should really have to go through pain in their life, you know. There was a person by the name of Buddha once who, I can't remember his exact words, but he said that life is just an endeavor of living day by day and trying not to get in any situations that cause pain. or suffering. You know, even though pain and suffering are kind of inevitable, eventually we will find a situation, you know, whether we bang or stub our toes on the side of the bed, or, you know, hit our head getting out of the car, or maybe get into a car wreck, God forbid, you know, and this is a lot more serious, but there's 101 things at least that we can have done to our bodies, you know, these little pains throughout our body that we have experienced in a lifetime. It's interesting, and not only that, but you can get bitten by a snake, poisonous snake, here in Texas especially, stung by a scorpion. There's coyotes and wild hogs behind our backyard. God forbid, having a run-in with one of those, you know, if you're by yourself. And then there's nature, you know, you get struck by lightning. I had a dream last night where I saw this building with people in it that were being hit by these huge, monstrous waves of water. And the water was crushing the building. And these waves were like maybe a couple hundred feet high. It's amazing what we dream about, you know. Dreams can be so bizarre and hard to figure out. You know, it's like I wake up sometimes, why did I dream that? You know, what was there any kind of message? Was it a dream of the past, the future? Dreams are supposed to rejuvenate our spirits from what I've learned, but they are so strange sometimes. Strange is the word, main word, where I'm not able to figure out some. I might see a correlation with maybe future things down the road. Maybe people I meet the next day. I remember having some dreams of in the past of things that later happened, reading something in a newspaper, like a jet that crashed, you know. I dreamt about the day before. And who knows? If there's an earthquake, it could be a tsunami, maybe tomorrow. And that might be linked to my dream, but maybe it was a dream of the past, you know, like when Indonesia was hit by that tsunami all those years ago, you know, from that earthquake, that huge earthquake that originated off its coast, I think. But Don, excuse me, Doc. Why did I say Don? Anyway, Doug, thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure.
Thank you. I haven't prepared anything, but I'm somebody that likes to do things spontaneously, you know, extemporaneously. There's so much we could talk about. It doesn't need to be structured. I was just wondering if you could tell me a little bit about yourself, like what high school you went to. My granddaughter, is going to a prom tonight, and I'm just in the house and told her she looked very beautiful. She does. She looks like Rihanna. She's amazing. She's 19. She graduates from high school on the 4th of June. And so she's going to the prom tonight. I went upstairs and gave her all the money that was in my wallet and said, here's a little spending money. But anyway, I remember when I went to high school, I imagine you grew up in California, did you?
No, actually, Washington State, right up near the border of Canada and the water, just
okay,
on the
Washington
opposite
State.
Side. Yeah.
Near Seattle?
Yeah, north of Seattle, a couple hours, actually.
My sister lives in Seattle.
Yeah, it's a beautiful state.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that country up there. It's very beautiful indeed, yeah. With a lot of pine trees, firs, spruce.
Right.
Those, what are they called, deciduous kinds of trees?
Right. Well.
And that's where they, let me ask you a question, Doug, because I'm very interested in Bigfoot. They say the Pacific Northwest is where a lot of the Bigfoot sightings are. And do you believe in Bigfoot?
I can't say One way or the other, I kind of leave that open. I think it's a there's a real possibility that, you know, some sort of a humanoid exists outside of ourselves, just as I believe there's aliens. So my belief system's fairly open. I haven't yet seen an alien per se. I wouldn't probably know if I did. Maybe they kind of look like you and I do. But I believe that something out, you know, we're not the only people around. Yeah.
Yes, I agree. Because even back in Einstein's day, you know, come a long way since then. That was back around 19, when this he came out with his theory of special relativity in 1905 and general relativity in 1915. We were just, I mean, he did some amazing things, you know, his theories kind of were groundbreaking in so many different ways, you know, about the speed of light and about the fabric of outer space. But he was kind of revolutionary, and I can't remember what he quoted exactly, but someone as brilliant, as intelligent as him, even back in those days when it was kind of taboo to talk about things like extraterrestrials and life elsewhere, he said, basically, I mean, the universe is so large. Think that we are the only civilization is not very intelligent, you know.
Right, I believe that. I mean, it's so large that the odds that there aren't would be impossible, almost impossible. So, yeah, it just makes sense that there is other life out there. It'll be interesting because I kind of believe that our society will see more and more of that as we advance as a civilization. And I think it's going to make for an interesting future. I mean, I can almost imagine, you know, anything that we can't imagine probably in some way does exist, which makes life very, very interesting. I don't know if they're, let's say, fairies, but some people claim to see fairies, right? Are there drag?
Yes.
Maybe there are dragons too. I don't know. But I'm open to the possibilities for sure.
Well, I learned talking about fairies, there's a really good near-death experience, in case anybody wants to read about it, by a man named David Oakford. And his experience happened when he almost OD'd on some kind of drug. I think he was high on maybe a combination of two or three drugs when he was younger, and so, which happens quite often, you know, he kind of lost consciousness and popped out of his body. He saw his guardian angel. His guardian angel appeared, told him that he was a master, and he just forgot who he was. He was a great, powerful spiritual being. And so he said also one of the things that he did was to drive down the road in this car. I guess he was, maybe this is before, I forget, he passed out in his home. He said that he looked into the trees and he saw these little fairy-type beings like leprechauns or that were maybe a foot high or even smaller. And they were, he was told, or telepathically it was communicated to him that these beings were like the guardians, the keepers of these, of nature, you know, that we can't see because they're in a different realm most of the time, but they can pop out kind of going from one dimension to another sometimes. They have that capability. And they do exist. That's what I learned about fairies and elves and trolls. I don't think they're evil and that, you know, kind of Hollywood's put a spin on them as being evil. They're created by the creator, so they have a purpose to fulfill, and they're inherently good. I think they're going through their own Well, they might not be going through a process of evolution like we are, but they serve a purpose, you know, and that is to be a part of nature, and they have their job to perform, so to speak.
And
as far as...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I believe in other, you know, energy exists. Even, you know, our ability to see is, it makes up so little of even the light spectrum, right? From one end to the other. So just based on that, I think there's more out there. And then things probably live on a different vibratory structure too. The sound of music, you know, they kind of maybe live in realms where there's vibrations that are different. And then, of course, dimensionally. So I actually believe that. There could be people walking around us right now that are in a different dimension, right? But they're on the same planet as us. So, and I feel that's true because through my meditations a long time ago, I experienced something like that, and I got to see energy, you know, make up human form, like just translucent dots, trillions of them. Like if you could imagine seeing an atom, I kind of do. I look around and I always see trillions of dots. And my brother does the same thing. And I often wonder if other people see that. Like when you look around, everything's made up of trillions of dots, right? Just trillions of them. And those dots can have a glow to them and somewhat translucent. And kind of like phasing in on Star Trek when you see them phasing in and phasing out. Well, I got to see energy take form and shape that was very translucent, shimmering kind of. You could see through it, but you know, it looked like a human form, or in one case, it looked like a squid that came out of the wall, and just grabbed my finger, and my finger started to turn into a trillion dots, brown. It started green, then it went brown, then it went like a whirlwind, like a funnel, like trillions of dots, like they're just going round and round and round. I could see my arm disappearing as it was touching me, which was just bizarre, I gotta tell you. But I only experienced that for a short period of time after a very large awakening that occurred for me. But I believe in it. So that was proof to me that there is something out there that we can't always see. And it proved itself to me because, you know, it actually started to play with my dog. My dog would react every time it would touch my dog's tail or grab its ear. Or just, and I think that was kind of show me this is real, so don't believe it's not. Because when you see such a thing, you question it. You're gonna question. It's like being, you're gonna question it. Is this real? Is it just my mind? Is it something playing tricks on me here? And so you're mentally, your thought would, you're doing this in your head, and the energy would respond to that thought. Right. It was very interesting.
Yes. It does sound interesting, and I know that I've heard similar things just recently in some YouTube videos that I've watched about Bigfoot, for example, about how they might be an interdimensional creature. It might, I mentioned this on a show before in the past. I had a theory that they are perhaps the big lifters for some extraterrestrial species, kind of like Chewbacca, if you will. And they serve a purpose by coming here to Earth, and there seems to be a lot of interest in these heavily forested areas around the planet that might be some kind of minerals or I don't know what exactly that they need. And they either are independent of the aliens, or perhaps these aliens genetically alter themselves to resemble these huge, 9 feet, 10 feet tall creatures that look like huge apes, you know, humanoid. And that's not hard to believe if you remember the movie Avatar, how they were able to put themselves into the blue bodies of those beings, you know, with the tails, and they were tall, like maybe 7-8 feet tall, you know, and put their spirit or astral body, if you will, into them. So these aliens, they might be doing the same thing with these big feet, you know, they create these humanoid ape-like creatures, and they can transfer their spirits into them, and then they walk around. But I think one thing that made me reminded me of what you were talking about is one time this person said they had this experience where, and he was not by himself, he had like two other guys with him. He said they saw this Bigfoot walking. It must have been maybe 100 to 300 feet away. And they watched it as it was walking away, and there was this kind of halo of light, a circle of light around it that shrunk and got smaller and smaller and smaller. And eventually, the Bigfoot just disappeared into like that center of light, and then boom, it vanished. You know, it disappeared, sure. It vanished.
Sure.
And also the people say they see little orbs of light floating around, you know, darting around here and there whenever they're in the presence of a Bigfoot, you know. They say they can smell them too. Supposedly they've got a pretty raucous smell. But they've never found one. I think some people say they've shot some, but they've never produced a body. And they have to be of an intelligence. I mean, you have to be pretty smart with all these people trying to find you, trying to kill you so they have a body to show everybody that there's proof that they do exist, you know? But I think from what I've learned, you just can't classify them into a category of being something like an ape, you know, that existed here over on this side of the world instead of in Asia or Africa, you know. A gorilla, you can't think of them in the same terms as a gorilla. A gorilla does not, you know, disappear into another dimension. That's just one example of people that have had experiences with Bigfoot. But I think what you said about yourself, that sounds pretty neat. And have you ever heard of Dr. Stephen Greer?
I have. Yeah.
He would be an interesting person that somebody should try to get on their show. Maybe me. I don't think he would come on my show because I'm just not big enough, you know, so to speak.
Oh, he's been on our network. Few times. They all have.
Almost he's been everybody on one of your shows?
Oh, yeah. Dr. Greer. Yeah, all of them. All the people out there, the crop circle lady. Almost everybody you can think of or name. Yeah, at one point or another have been on our network. In fact, just last week we had Bernie Siegel on our network.
Bernie Siegel, I don't know him.
He's the power of intention.
No, don't know that. But what is he, like an ET kind of person?
He is a metaphysical spiritual man that wrote The Power of Intention and a couple other books. He's a doctor, and he's just a brilliant man. He kind of really helped ignite the idea of spiritual concepts. You know, the idea that intention can create, kind of. You know, it all starts with the intention. And he really kind of propelled that idea that's really taken hold of the spiritual community over the past 20 years, right?
Yes. George Siegel. I'll have to check him out on the internet.
Yeah, he's a brilliant man.
And you say you have a woman that talks about crop circles, too?
Yeah, I think her name is Patty Greer, Crop Circle
wow.
Lady. She does a lot of investigating of crop circles, one of the probably the forefront of that information, brings it out, and entertaining lady, yeah.
Well, there to me is proof, you know, that these ETs do exist, because I saw a show one time where they tried to duplicate some of these circles, or tried to create some, you know, by using boards and stamping these figures out with their feet, you know, and they're so perfectly symmetrical and, you know, so well laid out and coordinated that any person with a logical mind would have to agree that they couldn't have been done by human beings, period.
Right.
I find there's one particular that was, I guess there's a lot that happened in England, but there's one called the Alien Face Crop Circle. Have you heard about that one?
Yes. In fact, that was, you know, a lot was read into that crop circle with that alien face. My brother knows a lot about that. I forget what the alien is called. There's actually a name. I've given him a name, and I forget. But yeah, that was quite fascinating.
Yes, and talk about detail. You know, some of them have these geometric designs, but a face in and of itself, a person could not create, especially overnight, you know. But some people, you know, the naysayers, the non-believers, the skeptics, the critics, sometimes they just take the opposite stance without really having any rationale behind their beliefs, you know. They do it, maybe it's a way to inspire us to really come out with the truth, to find that smoking gun kind of evidence, you know. So I won't belittle them for being that way, although I think that sometimes they just, it's not an intelligent approach to observing things, you know. It's not an intelligent perspective. It's kind of the opposite, you know. But I understand, and I recognize them as fellow human beings, but I mean, really, what more evidence do you need? What more evidence do we want? I know we're in a kind of limbo, you know, kind of like stuck in this, as I mentioned on some of my shows in the past, this Copernican gap, I call it, for lack of a better way of describing it, just like when Columbus proved that the world wasn't flat, and Copernicus proved that we are not at the center of the universe, that actually our planet revolves around our sun, and our sun revolves around the center of the Milky Way galaxy, and the galaxy revolves around the center of the universe. But right now, we don't know if there's life out there, because we don't have that smoking gun evidence, you know, that these ETs do exist. They haven't landed in next to the White House, you know, in the front yard, the White House. They haven't, no one has a piece of metal. Even if they did, someone would say, some alchemist would say, well, it's a very clever way to have made that, you know, but doesn't prove that it belongs in another solar system, you know. Some solar systems have binary star systems, and they have two suns. Isn't that amazing?
I think they say most are like that, don't they?
Wow. And so the potential for elements of a higher number on the atomic scale of, what do they call that? The
periodic table?
The atomic scale.
The periodic table, you mean?
The periodic table, that's it. Thank you. Is higher, because in the binary star system, I guess, it's just the elements of a higher number because of the two stars. I guess that's the rationale for that. I'm not sure exactly how to break that down as to why, but suffice it to say that Whereas here on Earth, you know, you have uranium and plutonium, and they're like maybe just a little over 100 on the periodic table. And there's others too. Radium, I think, is one. And there's a few others. But some of these, have you ever heard of Bob Lazar?
I have.
Yeah, he claims that he was reverse engineering some alien technology at Area 151 in a place called S4 in the late 1980s, early 1990s. And they, since he came out, they've been trying to destroy his reputation. That's understandable. But he said that he saw some alien spacecraft at where he used to work, and he actually was working on reverse engineering the propulsion systems on them to include one that they called the sport model. But apparently this one particular spaceship was your stereotypical flying saucer, really sleek and silvery gray metal, just beautiful, you know, just looked like the ultimate flying saucer, maybe about 20 feet in diameter. And they powered, their propulsion system was powered by a type of radioactive material that is not found here on Earth. I think it's 115 on the periodic table. And so what they do is they fire protons into the nucleus of that material, and then when the protons start to fix on the nucleus, it transmutates to a higher category, a higher number, like 116. And when that happens, it creates antimatter, and then they channel the antimatter down a special kind of tube, and then they mix it with regular matter, and that causes tremendous amount of heat. And then they have a thermionic generator that powers these anti-gravity amplifiers, and that's how they travel either within the planet's atmosphere, riding off the electromagnetic grid by either attracting or repelling it, or into outer space where they're able to fire their beams, because space is like a fabric, and they can warp that fabric and kind of like surf from one location to another by just bending time and space, you know, warping time and space.
That's some heavy stuff.
And I learned that from Bob Lazar. You know, he shared that. And some of these beings have been traveling throughout the universe in that kind of fashion. They've been doing it for millions of years. I mean, we are like the new kids on the block, you know, here in a spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy. From the point of creation, you know, assuming that you believe in the Big Bang, which I think a reasonable person would believe in, because they must have some other alternative explanation for how the universe was created that I'm not familiar with. The Big Bang is where it all began, and the first solar system began forming itself.
Sure.
And then another solar system, and then when enough solar systems are created, then that constitutes a galaxy, and then a new galaxy begins to form, one solar system after another.
Sure.
And here we are, you know, like 15 billion light years from the center of the universe. I mean, even look at Alpha Centauri. That's like 4 light years away. And the Voyager spacecraft that were launched in the 70s, Voyager 1 and 2, right now are like over a billion miles away, traveling at about 40,000 miles an hour. But even Alpha Centauri, which is only like 4 light years away, it would take them like 20,000 years to get there,
right,
traveling at 40,000 miles an hour. Now, when, yeah.
Oh, we have about 1 minute, my friend.
So, suffice it to say that the likelihood of there being other civilizations created before us who have been in existence for millions of years more than us, it's just logical, you know? Because, as I mentioned, you might have heard me, all this life here on Earth, over a million types of insects, there's like a million types of insects in like a couple of square acres in the Amazon basin. A million different insects. Wow. Time flies. Okay. Well, thank you, Doug. Would you come back? I mean,
thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be on your show.
It's great to talk with him.
Thank you.
Sorry, I really did have a goal of trying to get to know you a little bit better, and I think we did, but can we do this again some other time?
Be my pleasure. Thank you, Blake.
Thank you, Doug. Maybe next week. Is that okay?
Sure. I'll join you next week.
All right. And a quick prayer to everybody as we sign off. May the creator of the universe bless us all, everyone. Thank you, Doug.